It's time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, to join us on a Monday morning. Arthur joins us right around 7:32, 7:33, and we talk about, well, food. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. And if I sound particularly chill, is the word they use these days for being calm. It's because I ate pasta yesterday. Carbs are calming.
Yep.
It's my new mantra. Because aren't we all a bit stressed out, if not a lot stressed out, or whatever term they're using these days, the opposite of chill? I mean, really, this morning already, so many things going wrong and happening that I think I may have to eat pasta again today. It worked yesterday, I gotta say. I made a recipe that I had been dying to make for several months, and because I was not eating very much pasta, and then I was away in the land of pasta, I haven't made it. But I went to Coluccio, my market here in Brooklyn, Di Coluccio and Sons, except that there's a daughter, too. I think when they did the and Sons, Kathy had not yet been born, but she's fully an adult now, a woman with three grown children. Anyway, I went to Coluccio the other day to stock up on pasta, which I haven't done now in, 2.5 years? In fact, when I started going on, started eating ketogenically, which is to say on the keto diet, I did lose 50 pounds, everybody should know that, and I have maintained it more or less. I mean, I don't weigh myself as regularly as I did when I was dieting, but I can tell by my clothing that I'm maintaining, which is good enough for me right now. Anyway, I gave away all the pasta I had in the house just so as not to tempt me, and I've had the cupboard bare for quite a while. Every once in a while, I break down and buy a box of spaghetti at the supermarket. DiCecco is my preferred supermarket brand. Actually, great brand. It's not a compromise in any way. Anyway, so I went to Coluccio, and Kathy Coluccio was there. She's the one who's not and Sons. She's the and daughter. And she had told me about, I don't know, a couple months ago, I bought a dried salami, you know, a dried sausage. And she said, oh, my mother used to make sauce with that all the time. I said, oh, how do you do that? And she told me. And then she refreshed my memory the other day, since now I'm going to eat pasta because carbs are calming. I said, well, sell me a dried salami. She said, well, my mother always used soppressata. Now, soppressata, everybody, is not your everyday salami. It means it's pressed. And so a true soppressata is not round, cylindrical, but slightly pressed, meaning flat, at least flattish. Depends, you know. I bought one that is, in quotes, homemade. I always want to ask, who's home? Nobody in the store knew who's home. If anybody tells me homemade, I think of a former neighbor of mine who was the worst cook ever and liked to invite us for dinner. And fortunately, she had two little overstuffed dogs who hung out under the table all the time because her husband fed the dogs. There were a lot of nights he couldn't eat the food either. Anyway, so when they say homemade, I want to know who's home. I don't know whose home this is from, but it is a true soppressata, a sweet one. Now, the Coluccio family is from Calabria, where they love hot pepper. I mean, it's actually a hot pepper museum in Pizzo. And in Pizzo, by the way, used to be a very charming place, and now it's both charming and modern because there's a new pizza. Anyway, it's in Calabria. So the Calabrians love hot pepper, but in my household, we have to add hot pepper at the table. Let's just put it that way. I bought a sweet soppressata, and Kathy instructed me to use about 4 ounces of it, which I did. And I failed to ask her how her mother cut up the soppressata, the salami, the dried sausage, whatever you want to call it. By the way, to do this, you could use pepperoni. If you like hot pepper, this is a very good dish to use a stick of pepperoni in. But, you know, we can all buy a good kind of Italian dry sausage. So I didn't ask her, so I just cut mine into little, let's say, inch-long slivers. And then she did tell me, however, to cook one of the other ingredients, the only really other ingredient besides tomatoes, onion. She said, oh, you know, my kids, and her kids are on their own, living on their own and cooking for themselves, and they're trying to make their mama's cooking, and mama is making her mama's cooking. I love that. And she said, my kids do it all wrong because they like to dice the onion. And my mother never diced the onion. My mother cut the onion right into the pot using, and I added this because I knew exactly what she was going to say, one of those little cheap serrated blade knives. Now, saying that, and as soon as I, even Bob, who's not a kitchen person, as soon as I said that to somebody, he said, oh, like they use at Celliano. Well, all over Italy, women are and men, the professionals have good knives, but the home cooks all use, and there's some fabulous home cooks in Italy, as you can imagine, they all use these really inexpensive, I mean cheap, serrated blade knives with plastic, colorful handles, and you can cut an onion directly into the pot using that. Kathy's mother, she said, big pieces, you have to have big pieces. Now, let me say, I'm not creating a dish that I ate in somebody's house or that somebody cooked for me or that my mother, grandmother, aunt, or whatever made, so I have no frame of reference here. Truly, I go along with her kids in that, you know, it's probably a different, it is, unquestionably a different sensation eating big pieces of onion in the sauce and eating finely diced onion in the sauce. But since I never ate it from Mama Coluccio, I don't know what it's supposed to taste like. And mine was awfully good. So, but I did follow Kathy's instruction to a degree. Instead of slicing the onion into my usual half circles, so to speak, I cut them the other way, which I sometimes do anyway, meaning I cut off both the root end and the stem end so that when I cut the onion from root to stem, I end up, and it doesn't have to be terribly thin either, according to Kathy, so why bother making it too thin? And that's it. And, you know, if you have a few bigger pieces and a few smaller pieces, that's, I'm sure, what Kathy's mother ended up with. So I did exactly what she said. I put in, I coated the bottom of my pan with good olive oil, Coluccio label olive oil, which, by the way, this year is particularly good. They source it from Sicily. And then I put the sliced up onion in the pot. I let it cook for 4 or 5 minutes until it started to soften. And then I threw in my 4 ounces of basically salami, cut into fine strips, and let that cook for a few minutes, really just 2 or 3 minutes, tossed in the oil. And then I added a full can of good canned Italian tomatoes, whole tomatoes, which I mashed up per Kathy's instruction with a fork. I usually use a potato masher, or sometimes when I feel like it, my hands to crush the tomatoes. But since Kathy said, oh, my mother always used a big fork to mash up the tomatoes, I thought, let me use a big fork. And they were perfect. I threw in the tomatoes. No salt and pepper at this point, because the salami could be salty, should be peppery. Mine had whole peppercorns in it. Anyway, I let it simmer for about 15 minutes. I then did taste it. And I must say, if I was a Calabrian, Calabrese, I would have added hot pepper at this point because my salami wasn't very picante. But you could add some hot pepper flakes if you're using a sweet salami. And truthfully, I think any kind of dried sausage, Italian-style dried sausage, would work here and be delicious. And as I was making it, I recalled, in fact, that I have another a Calabrian recipe for a pasta sauce in the Southern Italian Table that was my cookbook that covers the whole south of Italy. And it was a recipe that I picked up in Calabria in a place called Stilo. Now, Stilo, you don't go to Stilo to eat. You go to Stilo to see this old, I mean, I forget what century, monastery that has frescoes and sort of this aura of holiness. And but then you got to eat. So I went into this little place. It literally was maybe four tables it was in front of somebody's apartment. And the man who was cooking was, you know, the father of the family, and the family, the two kids and the wife, waited on the tables. Not that they needed much wait service here. But anyway, he made a dish that I put in the book, again, with dried salami. Now, I got to do a little bit more homework here, but I'm thinking that, this, you know, first of all, they do pepperoni. What we call pepperoni comes from Calabria. It's the, you know, dried hot sausage of Calabria. They don't call it pepperoni. Pepperoni to a Calabrian would be sweet pepper. Sweet peppers, plural, is pepperoni. So, that was another dish. In that case, it had fresh sausage as well as dried sausage. And then the fillip, F-I-L-L-I-P, of fried eggplant, another favorite thing. And, of course, the dried sausage was hot sausage. So let me say, shopping at Coluccio, I noticed the price of pasta had already gone up. Interestingly, in the supermarket, the price of spaghetti, macaroni, is at the low end, is going up faster than at the high end. But that's maybe, I was talking to Kathy about this, she knows all about these things because she's not a food person. I mean, she is a food person in that she cooks and cooks her family, but she's the person in the office who deals with transportation and ordering things. And she was telling me that a container costs five times more this year than it did pre-pandemic. And a friend of mine, who in fact is moving back to Italy, she's Italian, and she lives in my neighborhood, she's moving back to Italy, and she said, since the time that I decided, we decided to do this a year or so ago, and now the cost of my container has doubled. So, of course, we're going to end up paying for that. But so far, from what I can see, the high-end pasta, meaning mostly imported pasta, is not going up in price. And, in fact, may be on sale a bit to make room for the higher-priced pasta. But if transportation is that much more, and the cost of wheat is so much more, the war in Ukraine is partly responsible for that, but other reasons as well. Be prepared to see higher prices on what we always think of as a bargain commodity, which is pasta. And it still is, by the way. I mean, I laugh when they tell me that the price of eggs have gone up 30% in the last year. I'm sorry, eggs started out at costing nothing. So 30% of nothing is almost nothing. So I don't know what do you know what you are you conscious of what you pay for eggs, Marshall?
I'm not. I don't pay attention to it because it's because the general grocery bill is about 30% higher, and you know what? It just goes on a credit card, and I pay the credit card at the end of the month. I don't pay attention to prices. I get what I want.
I get it. I believe me, I can afford what I want, but I still pay attention to prices. But one thing, I have to talk about it. But anyway, I get sort of pissed when people tell me, "Oh, eggs have gone up to $3 and change a dozen." I said, "It still comes out $3 a dozen. Still comes out to 25 cents an egg." And if you eat a lot of eggs, let's say you eat 3 eggs for dinner, it's still 75 cents. Of course, you're going to add other items to it. We did have eggs for dinner last night, actually. I like scrambled eggs for dinner. And I had made an enormous quantity of spinach because I finally found the spinach I've been looking for all spring. It's now almost summer. And finally, there's this great field spinach. And I made 4 enormous bunches, which, of course, cooks down to practically nothing. But still, it's a lot of... Still enough, more than enough spinach for dinner, for two. It should have been for 4, but it was for 2. And with scrambled eggs, that to me is a decent dinner, and it's very cheap, to speak of cheap. Anyway, back to the sauce. The other thing I didn't ask Kathy, which I should have, is what pasta did Mama put it on? Because every sauce has an affinity for a particular shape. Spaghetti is always my go-to because we just love spaghetti. By the way, I'm saying it that way only because my Italian teacher used to tease me. She says the only word you don't have a good accent on because you learned how to say it as a child in Brooklyn. So I say spaghetti, but, spaghetti. Anyway, so I made it on spaghetti, my salami sauce. After 15 minutes, by the way, it was sufficiently cooked. It's a very quick sauce. I'm sure Kathy's mother made this frequently because it was so quick and easy to do. The only work involved here was cutting up the salami. And by the way, she had little in the store. They sell little packages of already sliced both sweet and hot sausage. We would call pepperoni, but when it's not hot, you just call it dry sausage. And she picked one up and said, "This is exactly the right quantity to make it for one can of tomatoes, for one 28-ounce can of tomatoes." But in the end, I bought a fresh one, and I didn't take the sliced ends that they were selling in the store. So back to carbs are calming. One of my great carb dishes is a big bowl of vegetable soup, minestrone, with both beans or chickpeas. We happen to love chickpeas. And also chickpeas are very, very low on the glycemic. I mean, they're one of the best carbs you can eat, let's put it that way. So I made a big pot of minestrone the other day. I did do it with broth because I have a good supply of broth in the freezer. So a quart of broth ended up, though, with 3 quarts of vegetable soup. So I also did empty the refrigerator. I had a few little carrots, a couple ribs of celery. By the way, the other day at the market, they had organic celery that looked anemic and terrible for I forget how many dollars a bunch. And then they had gorgeous looking, not organic, for under $2 a big bunch. So, of course, I bought the gorgeous, not the organic. And so I used 2 big gorgeous ribs of celery, a nice size onion. I measured it, so it was a cup and a half of diced onion. You don't have to cut it small. You can cut it into, even half-inch pieces if you like, whatever. And I saute those all together in olive oil. So far it's just emptying the, you know, making way for fresh vegetables. And I had two zucchini, so I diced them up, not small at all. I would say inch cube. I cut each one in quarters and then crosswise into inch pieces. I threw that in the pot. I had a half a head of cabbage. I shredded that and threw that in the pot. Meantime, I've just no liquid yet. I'm tossing and tossing, and then at some point, everything was all mixed up together. I covered the pot and let it steam over low heat for about 10 minutes. Quite a bit of moisture, you know, sweet vegetable juices collect at the bottom of the pot. And then I put in a small can. They're hard to find, 14-ounce can of good peeled Italian tomatoes. However, if you don't have that, you could throw in, just a half a can of the big ones, or even, in this case, some crushed tomato, not more than a cup and a half. And that's it. And then stir that up, and then I added my 1 quart of nice chicken broth, and I don't think it quite covered everything. So I added some water. I rinsed out the tomato can. I rinsed out the container that had the soup in it, the broth in it. And that's it. Let it simmer for about an hour and a half. And then I added, the vegetables are carbohydrates. They're not the ones that calm necessarily, but this was a delicious sweet soup, to which I added a can of chickpeas. I rinsed them. I didn't want the juices from the chickpeas. I just wanted the peas themselves, mainly because I didn't want to mask the nice sweetness of the soup as it was. And then, and that's how we ate it the first day. The second day, I had about half left over. I reheated it, and this time I added for each of us 2 ounces of pasta. You say, oh, that's not very much pasta. You know what? It's plenty. In fact, I could have even used a little less, but carbs are calming, so we were very happy to have the extra carbs. This is the kind of soup I would use, broken spaghetti. You know, you have a little bit of spaghetti left in a box. You can break it up and put it in. I like to cook it separately because I don't want all that starch in the soup, but there's no reason. If it's thin spaghetti, for instance, it'll cook in no time in the soup itself, and that'll be fine. I was using something called pasta mista, which is mixed pasta shapes. You buy them all together in a bag or a box. And, by the way, broken spaghetti is sold separately for its own sake. I've seen it in the U.S. too, but in Italy it's a common, in the south of Italy especially, it's a very common product. Anyway, so you don't have to break your own spaghetti? I don't know. Anyway, pasta mista is different shapes, and they do take different times to get tender, but that's sort of the point. In other words, they offer a variety of textures in one mouthful even. So I used 2 ounces each of that for each of us. So 4 ounces of pasta I added to what must have been at least a 1.5 quarts of soup. 6 cups of soup, and that was another meal. So that's pretty thrifty and also very calming. A big bowl of minestrone with both chickpeas and pasta in it. You can top that, by the way, with grated cheese if you like, but if you also like, you can maybe just drizzle on some extra virgin olive oil, if you can, depending on how you like to eat. Either way, and I of course always add a little hot pepper to mine. Now I'm getting hungry.
You know, not only is pasta calming, but potatoes, the same thing, carbs,
the
same thing.
Well, wait a minute, yeah. Potatoes are carbs.
Yep.
When I say carbs are calming, we're talking about bread, potatoes, pasta. I could go for a big baked potato instead. Rice. Rice is very calming. All the white things, bread in particular, I find calm. In fact, talking to Kathy about, she doesn't need a diet at all. she's quite trim. But we were always talking diet for some reason, and she said, "Well, I couldn't eat that without a big hunk of bread too." So I think she still does eat pasta every day, and I understand that. In these times, we need pasta every day.
When I was a kid, I used to love getting baked potatoes from the Concord, wrapped in tin foil, and open it up and load it up with butter.
Well, to me, it's about the potato and the butter. You can keep the tin foil.
No, I just remember.
I understand the nostalgia of that.
As a kid, the first time it came, I looked at the potato and I said, yeah, how do I eat this?
Well, of course, truthfully, one of the possibilities for eating my spinach that I cooked yesterday was a baked potato, because I love spinach and potatoes. I love it with a lot of butter, because that was the one way my mother could get me to eat spinach when I was a kid, which was she would chop it up and mix it with potatoes and a lot of butter.
It's funny
and
you say
so that's
that, because
that's
the only way I would eat spinach with, I mean, not with potatoes, but butter.
Well, let me say, we had our spinach with olive oil, garlic, and hot pepper, a little bit of hot pepper, in respect for Bob's palate. But, I heated up two big cloves of garlic, smashed with my heel of my hand, in a pan full of good olive oil until the garlic was still white but soft, and I squished it down a couple times, giving up some of its flavor to the oil. And then I threw in the already cooked spinach, and I put it in a little at a time, because after squeezing out all the liquid, it was all bunched up together. And I put all these leaves, full leaves, I didn't chop it, in the skillet, and I heated them through again, this time with the oil and garlic, and a couple of tiny Calabrian hot peppers, which, in truth, did not really heat it up enough for me, but gave a little zing. And that's it. And in fact, I had it ready too early, so I left it on the stove, without heat, and then I reheated it again, and salt, by the way. You don't need pepper if you add a hot pepper, it's salt. So that, to me, I could have eaten the whole pan full myself, but I split it with Bob, and I must say, I can move on to other spinach dishes, including probably, I was thinking, pasta with spinach. By the way, we were talking about eating like a Roman last week. This is such a Roman thing. I mean, you hardly can go into a Roman restaurant without them offering either spinach cooked just the way I described, or some other green that might be in season, cooked just the way I described. And mine was every bit as good as any I've had in Rome. In fact, even Bob just couldn't stop eating it. I shouldn't say even Bob. We both love spinach.
Yeah, but you have to say even Bob, because there's other things Bob doesn't like. So, yeah,
well, too many. Somebody, we just celebrated 40 years together, 40. And somebody said, "What's the secret to your success?" And we both said, almost simultaneously, "Don't kill each other."
That's right. All right.
So, okay. Everybody have a calming week. It's going to be really a roller coaster, I believe. I have to say, somebody this already... I said, "What are you stressed about?" And she said, "Crypto coin."
Yes,
give
right.
me a break. It's not even in my consciousness, crypto coin. Bitcoins, whatever you call them. Cryptocurrency?
Cryptocurrency.
I don't even know what that is.
Just keep it that way. I'm trying
to keep it that way,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. All right, Arthur.
All right, have a great week and eat calming.
All right, we'll speak to you next week. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.